日本語で第一コリントビテの手紙12章の4節から11節をお読みします。さて御霊の賜物にはいろいろの種類がありますが、御霊は同じ御霊です。奉仕にはいろいろの種類がありますが、主は同じ主です。働きにはいろいろの種類がありますが、神はすべての人の中ですべての働きをなさる同じ神です。しかし皆の益となるためにおのおのに御霊の現れが与えられているのです。ある人には御霊によって知恵の言葉が与えられ、他の人には同じ御霊にかなう知識の言葉が与えられ、またある人には同じ御霊による信仰が与えられ、ある人には同一の御霊によって癒しの賜物が与えられ、ある人には奇跡を行う力、ある人には予言、ある人には霊を見極める力、ある人には異言、ある人には異言を解き明かす力が与えられています。しかし同一の御霊がこれらすべてのことをなさるのであって、御心のままにおのおのにそれぞれの賜物を分け与えてくださるのです。
And Pastor Aki's message today is called Serving Christ Through Our Gifting.
Morning.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Great.
Good, good. Good to see all of you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, and we do ask that your Holy Spirit would fill this place. We just ask for more of your presence, Lord, and a greater awareness of it, Father. We thank you so much for your grace, Lord, your amazing grace over our lives that washes us clean, that allows us to come before your throne. And Father, we just come before you humbly today, seeking to worship you, seeking to hear your voice, asking you, Lord, to fill us up with your Holy Spirit, asking you, Lord, just to draw us closer to yourself. We praise you, we worship you, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today I want to continue our sermon series on serving. And as we just read, the last part of our scripture reading says that the Spirit gives His gifts as He determines. And so our gifting is determined by the Lord. But scripture also says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So there's both a giving by the Lord, but also the Lord asking us to pursue giftings as well. And a certain gifting he tells us to eagerly desire is prophesying. Today I want to talk more about the gifts, and I'm just going to do a quick survey of what those gifts are, what they look like, and perhaps a couple of examples. And as I talk about these gifts, I really want you to begin to think, have I experienced that myself? Or I want you to even say, that's something I desire in my life. And if it is, I want you to begin to eagerly desire it. Not just say, Lord, if it's for me, give it to me because it's you determine who gets the gift. But rather, Lord, I want this. I'm going to seek it. Can I have, would you teach me, or would you impart this in me? I want to start out with a question I've heard a pastor ask before. He asked this question, which is more important, the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit? And for those of you who don't aren't familiar with the fruit of the Spirit consists of characteristics like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, righteousness, faithfulness. I don't know if I covered all of them. But those are the fruits of the Spirit. Which is more important, the fruit of the Spirit or the gift of the Spirit? All right, is anyone listening? by a show of hands. If you say the fruit of the Spirit, raise your hand. If you say the gift of the Spirit, raise your hand. Yeah, it's really a trick question. I would have been tricked into more of the fruit of the Spirit. Because those things, I feel like those are characteristics which are more lasting, such as, love. They say love. Paul talks about faith, hope, and love, but love will still remain. But Scripture is also clear that... Now, let me ask you another... Let me put it this way. Which is better or worse, to grieve the Holy Spirit or to quench the Holy Spirit?
Grieve is bad.
I don't think either one of them is good, right? But, grieving the Holy Spirit has to do with the fruits of the Spirit. If you don't operate in the fruit of the Spirit, you grieve the Holy Spirit. But if you don't operate in the gift of the Holy Spirit, you quench the Spirit. Neither one of them is good, is all I'm saying. Jesus talks about a parable about a rich man giving a certain amount of money to three of his servants. One of the servants doubled it. The other one made... I forgot how. one of the servants, two of the servants, they made money out of the investment. And one of the servants, he just dug a hole and hid his investment. And Jesus was really upset at that man. What I'm trying to say is this, the fruit of the Spirit is very important. The gifts of the Spirit, they're very important as well. I don't think you could say, I'm going to pursue one and not the other. I think as a Christian, as a balanced Christian, and as a Christian that seeks the Lord, we have to do both. Fruit of the Spirit, gift of the Spirit. I'm going to talk about the gifts today. Just a little recap of what we've been talking about is why we serve. In Matthew 20:25-28, it talks about serving as the road to greatness. Jesus says, whoever wants to be great in heaven must be a servant of all. And that's the complete opposite of what the world teaches. You want to be great in this world, you got to have people serving you. But Jesus teaches the complete opposite. Verse 28 of that passage, Matthew 20:28, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so, becoming a servant and using our gifts to serve others, essentially is becoming more like Jesus, which we are called to become like. We were created in the image of God. That image was marred in Eden. But Jesus, His death and resurrection, the blood He shed, It's recreating that image. We are a new creation. We are created to be like Christ, who is the firstborn. The fruits of serving like Jesus, serving our spiritual gifts, are twofold. And we saw this last week. And we saw this in the scripture passage we just read. It's for the common good. And what I mean by that is the body of Christ begins to thrive. And the body of Christ, when it's fully functional, Proverbs says, when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. And so serving in our giftedness really brings a blessing, not just to us, not just the body of Christ who begins to thrive, but it's so important for the city of Tucson that JCCT begins to grow in this area. Because it says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. And the opposite is just as true. When the righteous don't thrive, and when the wicked are in power, the people are oppressed. So it is very important that we strive to serve like Christ through our giftedness. And it also talks about unity. When we begin to operate in our gifts and appreciate our diversity, it brings unity. And Jesus says, when the world sees, when you become united, the world will know that I am the Lord. Unity is the key to, I believe, really seeing the Lord lifted up and people being drawn to Him. And so today I want to talk about the gifts that were listed. And let me read that again. First Corinthians chapter 12, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And so today I want to talk about these gifts. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all of them. But I do want to begin. And the first one Paul mentioned is the message of wisdom. The message of wisdom. It's some say, again, the scripture doesn't really go out and begin to define them. And so it's really me being familiar with the scriptures, and just through experience and just through hearing other teachers, this is where my definition comes from. So if you disagree, that's fine. But if you disagree, make sure it's biblical. Make sure you have a disagreement that's biblical. But the message of wisdom, I believe, is an application, a supernatural application of information from above. A message of wisdom can come in the form of when you say you have a dream from God. And you know how to apply that dream. That's wisdom. The dream is a revelation. But being able to apply it, that's wisdom. And some people say, you know, being street smart, that's a gift of wisdom. You know, you don't have to be necessarily be book smart, but if you're street smart, that's a gift of wisdom. And wisdom shines light in the darkness. For example, a biblical example of wisdom is King Solomon, who was gifted with with wisdom, right? You guys know that the Lord gave wisdom to Solomon. There was one instance where there were two women with a baby, each about the same age, and you guys heard of this story. One of the women, she rolled over and killed her baby, and when she woke up in the middle of the night, and she took her dead baby and switched it with another woman's baby and took that baby. And when the woman woke up and she saw a dead baby next to her, she realized, hey, that's not my baby. You know, hey, you stole my baby. And the woman's like, no, this is my baby. What are you talking about? They took this before Solomon. And Solomon says something really crazy. He says, you say this is your kid, and you say this is your kid. Let's take a sword, split it up, and you both could have the kid. And the woman that the baby actually belonged to, she started crying and saying, no, 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 you know, that lady, she could have this kid. And the woman that it wasn't her baby said, cut it in half. And Solomon says, well, I know whose it is now. It's the mother who really cared, who started crying. That's a gift of wisdom. That's a message of wisdom. I heard a pastor share this story. He said he was in Europe. And after the service, a woman came to him. And I believe the story goes like this. The woman, she was sharing that she was in an abusive relationship. I don't know whether it was both physical and verbal, but she was saying she was in an abusive relationship. The pastor, he asked the woman, do you have a secret account? And she said, yeah. And he asked her, well, how much is in that account? And she said something like, well, like about 30,000. And the pastor says, well, I want you to take that 30,000 and give it to your abusive boyfriend. And she said, are you crazy? That's the worst advice I've ever heard. And the pastor says, well, you're giving yourself to this man, aren't you? And you're worth far more than 30,000. And that opened her eyes, and you know, she was able to break up with this abusive relationship. And that was a message of wisdom. And he readily acknowledges he's not that smart. He's just, you know, at that time, the Lord gave him this gift to give wisdom, to bring light into a situation and really bring freedom. You know, if I ever say something very profound from the pulpit, and if you're like, oh my gosh, this guy is a genius, that's Holy Spirit. That's a message of wisdom. It's not that I'm that smart or that gifted. And it happens to all of us. And sometimes we don't even know it's us. It's better that we know it's not us, so that we can give glory to God. Because sometimes we'll be like, well, yeah, I'm pretty I'm pretty smart. I didn't know, when did I get that smart? And we'll be filled with pride and take the glory away from God, when really it was a gift from God to give to another person. And when we realize it's a gift from God to give to another person, it really opens the door and says to say, you know what, that was a gift from God. And usually when a person hears a message of wisdom, they'll be open to accept that it was from God, because it would be that profound. Moving on to the message of knowledge, the gift of the message of knowledge. This one is information from above. Several times in the New Testament, Jesus was given supernatural information about a certain situation. For example, prior to healing people on the Sabbath, he would know what the teachers of the law and Pharisees were thinking in their hearts, supernaturally. And you see this several times in the Bible. There was also another situation where Jesus was at the well, and this is a very well-known story, but a woman at the well was there. And Jesus asked her a question, and he supernaturally knew that the woman had several husbands before, several failed marriages, and the man she was living with now was not her husband. And it was because of this information, this woman opened her heart to Jesus and came to know the Lord. The message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, the gift of knowledge, it really does that. It really lowers the guard for unbelievers to be like, how did you know that? And you could say, well, the Lord told me. Usually the message, the gift of knowledge, it reveals God's intention, for example, in healing. There are many gifted healers and healing evangelists that would get messages of wisdom. That would get the gift of knowledge. For example, they would know that somebody is suffering from ulcers. And they would say, the Lord is showing me that somebody is suffering from ulcers. Or they would know that somebody is suffering from neck pains. And, you know, and they would have even more specific information. This neck pain is from a car accident. And the reason they would do that and give this word of knowledge is for the purpose of saying, The Lord is showing me this because He wants to heal you in this area. There are several times when the Lord has given me that gifting. That gift. Just a message. But it's really important that it's not to wow the crowd. It's not so that people will be like, oh my gosh, this guy, he's so connected with God. It's really to heal and deliver whoever is suffering from that affliction. You know, I gave some examples, and those examples I gave were actually something I was feeling. And I might be wrong. It might just be an example. But if there is anyone suffering from ulcers, stomach ulcers, come up after service and I want to pray for you. And if there's somebody that's suffering from a neck injury, come up, I want to pray for you because I believe that's the Lord. He wants to heal you. I don't think He's giving me this information to impress anyone. It's just information of what the Lord wants to do. The gift of knowledge, it comes in several different ways. It comes in impressions. What I mean by impressions is, well, you guys know what impressions are, do you? Okay, good, okay. It just comes in impressions. Sometimes it comes in sensations, such as smell, or even the sensation of touch. When you touch something, automatically you know something about certain things. It comes in the form of images. One of my favorite teachers, his name is John Wimber. And he was sort of like a seer who actually sees things. And he has just hundreds of stories of just operating in spiritual gifts. But there was one time he was actually a professor at Fuller Seminary, the seminary I went to. He passed away before I went to seminary, but in one of his classes, in all of his classes, he would do sort of like a clinic. And he would just ask students who needed prayer to come up. And there was one, I believe he was African American, he came, he was a foreign student. He came and he said something like, you know, my back hurts and it's been hurting. And so they all started praying for him. And John Wimber, when he went to pray for him, he saw something like a soccer ball on his back, and it had eyes on it. And instead of praying for healing, he rebuked what that was first. And when he did that, the African American man, he felt a kick, and he thought someone kicked him. And then that thing left, and then he was healed. All that to say is, you know, John Wimber was given information that he didn't know. He was given the gift of knowledge. And it comes in several different ways. He tells another story where he was in the airport, or he was on an airplane, and this was after, you know, one of his conferences, so he was really tired. He didn't want to minister or anything. But on the airplane, He looks at the seat next to him, and he sees a man, and there's a name written on his forehead. Not literally written, but he sees it in the spirit, just a name written on his forehead. Wait. He sees the word adultery written on his forehead. And then he was staring at him. And then the man says, "What do you want? Can I help you?" kind of thing. You know, what are you looking at, kind of thing. And he says, and then he sees the name, and he says, he asked him, "Does this person mean anything to you?" And he says, "We have to talk." And so I guess this was a time when they had a bar upstairs in an airplane. I've never been to one of those airplanes before. Are any of you old enough to have been on one of those airplanes? Men? If anyone, you would be. Wayne, you've been on one of those airplanes. Well, this airplane had like a bar on the second floor of the plane. So they go upstairs, and the man says, the woman next to me is my wife, and the woman you said is a woman I was having an affair with. And he said, how'd you know this? And John Wimber kind of shares that the Lord talks to him, and he says, you know, the Lord showed me this, and he says, if you don't repent, there's going to be something really terrible that's going to happen to you. He repents on the plane. And John Wimber begins to lead him in the sinner's prayer, and as he leads him, the man, I guess, he just starts wailing and praying out loud, and you know, everybody could hear what he's praying, and he says even the stewardess started crying just because the prayer was so beautiful. But this gift of knowledge is really, it brought salvation to the man. He went down, he explained it to his wife, and she came to know the Lord. And this gift of knowledge, it really is to bring freedom, bring salvation, bring the Lord's will. The next gift on the list is the gift of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so I believe the gift of faith is supernatural boldness. It gives us peace in situations where we normally would have anxiety. An example I believe in the Bible of this gift of faith is in the story of Joshua and Caleb ready to go into the promised land. The story goes like this. Moses is leading the children of Israel out into the promised land, and for 40 years they're wandering in the desert, learning the Lord's way, receiving the Ten Commandments. I believe they received the Ark of the Covenant at that time, and you know, for 40 years the Lord was preparing this people to enter into this promised land. They're on the brink of entering in. They're on the threshold of entering into their promise. What happens is they send 7 spies. Was it 7? Huh? 12. Okay. They send 12 spies. I only remember 7 of them, Marilyn. But I believe you. No, I believe you. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So they send 12 spies into the promised land, and you know, the land is just as they said it was, just as good as they say it was. The grape, they brought a cluster of grapes, and the grapes were just humongous, and they call it the land filled with milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey. But this land was occupied by giants. They said these were giants. And so when the spies came back and to give a report of the land, you know, they said, yeah, the land is filled with what, it's as good as what we ever imagined and better. But there's giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers to them. They'll just completely kill us. Two of the spies, I believe, were given a gift of faith. They were able to see, they were able to be sure of what they were hoping for, and certain what they didn't see. That's the gift of faith. Being sure of what they were hoping for. Joshua and Caleb, they said, no, the Lord promised us this land. Let's go in and take it. Let's do it right now. We're ready. The other 10, they were what we call realists. They were like, hey, wait. These guys are too big for us. We'll get killed. The gift of faith is really useful when it comes to missions. You know, being able to sell everything you own and pack up and go to another place for missions. I have a friend, they're a couple. They were both pastors. I believe they were pastoring at Hollywood Press at the moment. At the time when they felt God saying, I want you to sell everything and go to Thailand and build an orphanage there. And they did. They sold everything. She sold her wedding band. Anything that was worth anything, they sold. And they went to Thailand to start an orphanage. And today, you know, they've been so blessed. They were able to go through a lot of red tapes. It's a growing, thriving ministry of orphanages that takes children that are abandoned, and they take the kids and they educate them, they give them hope, and they grow up hoping they will grow up to become leaders of Thailand. And for those of you who are who don't know, Thailand is one of the biggest countries that takes children and into the sex trade industry. They sell them as slaves, sex slaves, and you know, it's just a really dark place. And these two couples, this couple, they felt God called them to go there. And they just obeyed. They had the gift of faith, and God blessed them. Shall we do one more? Good? Yes? No? Okay. We'll do one more. The gift of healing. And we'll end with this one. The gift of healing is a little different than the gift of miraculous powers. Meaning, you know, when we think of healings, a lot of times we think of instantaneous healing, right? Because that's what happened in the New Testament. A lot of times when Jesus prayed, you know, it was instantaneous. The gift of healing is, it can happen that way, but I believe the gift of healing is more of a progressive thing. For example, does any of you have any nagging injury that isn't healing properly? You know, an injury that should have been healed by now, but just for some reason or another isn't healing. If you do, you know, if someone prays for you, and then even though you're not instantaneously healed at that moment, it begins to heal and get better. That's a gift from God. That's a gift of healing. And a lot of times when I do pray for you, if nothing happens, don't be discouraged. Because it could be that the gift of healing was released and that natural progression of healing begins to happen because your body is meant to heal itself. But sometimes for one reason or another, it doesn't happen. A lot of times healing doesn't happen because of spiritual issues. I believe you can't separate the two, spirituality with your physical body. You know, a manifestation of something wrong spiritually can happen physically, I believe, a lot of times. So when you're healed, not just physically, I believe God will heal or release a healing in your spirit. You see this a lot of times, and the one time I actually healed somebody miraculously, let me rephrase that. The one time the Lord used me to heal someone miraculously, it was at this healing kind of meeting, and someone got a word of knowledge, said, you know, somebody has back pain. And a woman raised her hand, and so we're supposed to all just gather around and pray for this woman. And so I laid my hands on her and I started praying. And then in my head, I pictured her getting into a car accident, getting rear-ended. I should have had faith and said, and asked, or I should have just simply asked, did you get rear-ended? And is that why your back hurts? But instead, you know, I'm still new at this, and you know, I'm not tested, and I'm not nowhere near like a healing evangelist or anything. So I just asked the lady, how did your back get injured? And she said, I got rear-ended. And you know, I've been hurt ever since. I wish I would have said, the Lord is showing me you got rear-ended, and she would have been like, oh my gosh, God wants to heal me, but I didn't. I just asked her, and she said, I got rear-ended. And so I said, I asked her, did you forgive the person that rear-ended you? And she said, yeah, I forgave him. And I just simply said, you know, a lot of times, it's good to just, even though you don't feel like you're holding anything against this person, to just verbally say, I forgive the driver that rear-ended me. It's helpful to do that. And so, you know, she said, yeah, I did, so I didn't push the issue any longer. I prayed for her, and then I left. Couple of minutes later, she comes up to me excited and said, you know, right after I said I forgive the person that rear-ended me, my back was healed. And I was like, yeah. I acted all cool like it happens all the time, you know. But I was so excited. What I should have done was said, allow her to give her testimony. Because a lot of times, testimonies open up people's faith. People are filled with faith, and more healing is able to occur. All this to say, this is what the Lord gives to each one as He determines. And these are the things we are to eagerly desire, as the Scripture exhorts us to. This is not just for me, or not just for the pastor on TV, or, you know, it's not just for the super Christian, it's for all of us. And it's available to all of us. And if we do not operate in this, the church will not thrive as it should. The church will not come into unity as we should. The church will not be the force, the light that is supposed to be in this community, bringing righteousness and the people rejoicing around us. I hope some of these gifts interested you. If not, I don't know. I need to pray for you more, or I need to preach better. If not, but you know, these gifts, they're available. And they're gifts that we need to pursue. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And we just ask you, Lord, right now, Father, to awaken the spiritual gifts in us. Father, I pray that you would impart the gift of knowledge, impart the gift of wisdom, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, Lord. I pray, Jesus, for just your grace to operate in the supernatural. Not because we're special, but because you, Holy Spirit, live in us. And you desire to live through us. I just want to give you an opportunity to right now just to pray to him. Just ask him if out of those four gifts, if any one of those sounded remotely interesting, I just want you to ask the Lord, if this is for me, would you fill me with it? And just begin to ask him. Yes, Lord, we thank you so much. We praise you and we worship you. We pray, Father, you would fill each and every one of us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.